this morning and we take for granted the freedom that we have to freely gather together here this morning with curtains open, doors unlocked. Father, we are so richly blessed. And yet we understand, Father, that in countries where there is persecution going on, that your word is still spreading and bearing fruit, even as it did in Colossians chapter 1. It's increasing and bearing fruit. People are being saved. Believers are being discipled. Father, we intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We ask for their protection. We ask for their provision. We ask that you would allow them to assemble together for encouragement and discipleship and teaching and worship. And Father, I pray that you'll raise up more people who would be willing to go. Thank you for the missionaries that we are supporting as a church in foreign countries. Keith and Wendy Hawk in Uruguay has a reputation of being the most atheistic country on the world per capita. It's called the graveyard of missionaries because it's so discouraging to work there. Father, others are in similarly difficult places. Thank you for the privilege we have to hold the ropes for them back home, to help support them financially because most of them are not allowed to work in the countries where they are. Thank you, Father, for those who are seeing the vision for tent-making ministries and missionary work, like Nathan and April, Don and Tomah. Father, we pray that you'll provide for them, help them with the busyness of their lives, with trying to grow a church and working a job to support their families and trying to be a good father and husband and worker and pastor. Father, just protect them. Guard their personal time. Guard their hearts. Protect their families, Father. Increase our awareness. Increase our compassion. Increase our burden for the gospel of Jesus Christ and those who are proclaiming it faithfully. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Remember the theme of Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. We're in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to just quickly read verses 3 through 14, or 12 through 14, Colossians 3. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We're looking at Colossians 3, the section verses 3, 1 through 4, 6, talking about practical principles for walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Paul has encouraged us to have a heavenly perspective, to have holy practice, and now to have healthy relationships. And again, I can't stress how important those relationships are and having healthy relationships. We talked about the basis for healthy relationships, the fact that we've been chosen by God, holy and beloved. The basis for healthy relationships is understanding who we are in Christ, understanding the position that we have, and knowing who our fellow believers are. It's easy for me to be patient and long-suffering and gracious towards you when I remember that you are chosen of God, holy and beloved. Clothing for healthy relationships, Paul says in verse 12, put on, you'll put on the new self, chapter 3, verse 10. Now put on these characteristics. You will put on the life of Christ. You are in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. Now you're in the process of being reformed. Put on these characteristics. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And along with that, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. How could you do these things? How could you fulfill this screen and not have a good relationship with somebody else? Well, the only way that could happen is if they're not willing to have a good relationship with you. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. These are your responsibility. You can't change the other person. But that's where bearing with and forgiving comes in. Bearing with and forgiving. We talked about this matter of forgiveness, that there are two different words that are used in the Greek for forgiveness. The first one that Jesus used in Matthew 6 and Matthew 18 has the idea of to send away. So it's a picture of there's a barrier between you and this other person, and you just take it out of the way so that there's no barrier between you and them anymore. The other word is a verb that's made from the word grace, and it means to act graciously, to act freely, to dismiss the guilt with no punishment or repayment. To dismiss the guilt, send it away, first word, with no punishment or repayment required. You do it freely. That's the second word. And you bring both of those ideas together and you have an understanding of the biblical concept of forgiveness. So, putting on these things, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Then in verse 14, where we are this morning, Paul says, beyond these things, put on love. The word translated beyond really has the idea of on top of. On top of. And so, as he's been talking about putting on these five characteristics listed in verse 12, it's like you're putting on layers of clothing. And you've got all this underwear on now. Those are the five characteristics in verse 12. Now you're going to put on your outer garment. You're going to put on your outer garment, the one that everybody else will see. On top of all of these things, put on. And the put on is still understood from verse 12. It's not actually in verse 14. That's why in the New American Standard it's in italics. Put on love. And here it is specifically the word agape love. It's agape love. We've talked about that before. This is the unselfish love of the will. This is the love that expects and demands nothing in return. It's the love that says, I love you because I choose to, and sometimes I love you in spite of you. Not I love you because. I love you regardless because I choose to. It's a decision of the will. And it's not based on the other person being worthy, and it's not based on the other person reciprocating in any way. It's totally a one-directional love from me to you. I love you. No requirements on you in return. Some things would be nice, but they're not required for agape love. Put on love. And then the next phrase is difficult. I translate it, which is the joint bond of maturity. Okay? Go through those words with me a bit first. First of all, the word bond. Okay? It's literally the word for chains. Paul uses it three or four times in Philippians chapter 1, where he talks about, because of his chains, many people are being encouraged to preach the gospel even more. And even in spite of his chains, the gospel is not chained, but it's spreading. The New American Standard translates it with the word imprisonment, which is kind of an interpretation of that. But it literally has the idea of chains or bonds, shackles, if you will. Paul uses, go to Colossians 4, the very last verse. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains, literally. New American Standard says, remember my imprisonment. That's an interpretation. Remember my bonds. Remember my chains. So Paul takes that word, and then he prefixes a word on the front of it that means together with. So these are not just chains, they're co-chains. Uniting multiple things together. There's a multiple bond here. It's like, how many of you have ever seen a chain gang? Okay? Guys walking down the street and they've got anklets and chains connecting to the guy in the front with an anklet and the guy in front of him, and that's a chain gang. That's kind of the idea of this. We're being chained together. Okay? Put on love, which is the chain gang, the gathering together of maturity. The New American Standard says, which is the perfect, that's the word that I'm translating by maturity, perfect bond of unity. Perfect bond of unity. Well, think with me about this joint bond, first of all. What is the joint bond bonding together? What is love that is the joint bond? What is it joined together? Well, let me suggest two possibilities, and then we'll figure out what to do with those two possibilities. I think one possibility is that love is binding together all of these attributes. Those five attributes listed in verse 12, you know, heart of compassion, gentleness, kindness. You know, love kind of combines them all. So let me support that. If you want to turn there to 1 Corinthians 13, or you can just look here at Colossians, because I have it up here on the screen. You have these lists of, put them together, there's seven things, heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. How many of those characteristics are listed in 1 Corinthians 13 as part of the characteristics of love? Some of them? I think I can find all of them. Some of them is the exact same word. You know, you've got love is patient, patience, bears with, bears all things. Humility, love is not arrogant. But is it too much of a stretch to see compassion as not seeking your own? Isn't that part of what compassion is about? Is you put yourself in the place of the other person rather than just looking out for yourself? Kindness, love is kind, exactly. Humility is not arrogant. Okay, so in Colossians 3, it's positive humility. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's the negative, not arrogant. But it's, I don't see how that's saying anything different, really. Forgiving. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So maybe Paul is saying that love is the joint bond of maturity of all of these principles. You put on each of these individual principles, these seven things listed in chapter 12, in verse 12 and 13, or you just put on love and you've got them all. Put on love and you've got them all. So maybe that's what Paul's looking at here. But there's another possibility. Maybe it's talking about bonding believers together. Love is the joint bond of maturity. If there is love, is there going to be division? If there is love, is there going to be strife between believers? No. How could there be? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So love could be the joint bond of believers. So we've got these two possibilities. Love is a joint bond of all of these characteristics, or love is the joint bond of believers. And I think maybe Paul means both. Because I think love, agape love, does join all of these characteristics in one. He can either list all those seven characteristics in verses 12 and 13, or he can sum it all up and say, you know, just love each other. Just love each other. Or he could be talking about the importance of being united with one another. Is that important? John chapter 13, Jesus in the upper room discourse, just after the washing of the feet, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have your theology straight. No, that's not what he said. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Paul talked in 1 Corinthians 13 about three characteristics, faith, hope, and love. Which did he say was the greatest of these? Love. I think these are both critically, vitally important. And it's all summed up by saying, love one another. What do you mean? Heart of compassion, gentleness, patience, kindness, and be united with one another. Put on love, which is the joint bond of all of these attributes and the joint bond of believers together. Now this word, maturity. The word maturity that's used here is only used one other place in the New Testament. But it's based on a root word that's used often. In fact, Paul had used it back in Colossians chapter 1. Go back with me. It's based from a root word that means to be complete or mature. Verse 28, Colossians 1:28. We proclaim Him, that's Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete. That's the root word. Complete in Christ. It's the difference between these two words, the difference between saying Timmy is mature, okay, that's a characteristic, that's an adjective modifying Timmy, or we're going to talk about the characteristic in general of maturity. So in one sense, you're talking about an attribute of a person. In another sense, you're talking about the abstract principle. It's the abstract principle here that Paul's talking about in Colossians 3:14. Love is the joint bond of the principle of maturity. Because it's going to take maturity as a believer to be able to love one another the way Colossians 3:12-14 describes. The way 1 Corinthians 13 describes, immature believers probably aren't going to be able to pull this off. Keep your finger here and go with me to the only other place where this specific word is used. Hebrews 6:1. Okay, if Dan ever gets back to speak again, he's probably going to pick up on Hebrews 2 where he left off after we came back from vacation. I believe Hebrews 6:1 is the theme verse of the book. The writer says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. That's our word. That's exactly the same word that Paul used in Colossians 3:14, the joint bond of maturity. Here the author of Hebrews says, leaving the elementary principles of the teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. That's the goal that we're looking for, the goal that we're striving for, the goal that Jesus saved us for, is that we would grow into maturity. And that process isn't over yet. Colossians chapter 3, we have put on the new man, verse 10, who is being renewed to a true knowledge of the image of, in, according to the image of the one who created him. Yes, we have our new position in Christ. Yes, we are new creatures in Christ. But we're not finished products yet. We all just sang, he's still working on me. You know why? Because he's still working on me. And you. You sang it too. I heard you. Well, some of you did. The joint bond of maturity. Love is a joint bond of maturity. Love is that attribute that brings together these different characteristics in Colossians 3:12-13. The attributes that are listed in 1 Corinthians 13. The opposite of that, immaturity, keep your finger wherever you are. You can drop Hebrews 6. We're done with that. Leave your finger in Colossians 3 and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. Start with me in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men." Okay, that characteristic of spiritual men, I think that correlates with the idea of being mature. "I could not speak to you as to spiritual men," men who bear the characteristics and attributes of the Holy Spirit, men who are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. "I couldn't write to you like those people. I couldn't speak to you like those people. But as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it." Okay, when is Paul talking about here? When he says, "I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to men of flesh, I gave you milk to drink," when's he talking about? Okay, but that's going on to the next part. In this part that I'm talking about, when was Paul referring to? When he was there. He spent 18 months in Corinth teaching them, leading people to the Lord, grounding the church, getting it founded, and he's telling them, "When I was with you before," and he has been talking about that. Go back to chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God." He's talking about that original time when he made on his second missionary trip, when he arrived at Corinth, and he stayed there for 18 months. He led a lot of them to the Lord, and he started the church. And he says here in chapter 3, "When I was with you, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants of Christ, in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it." Many of the people that he led to the Lord in Corinth were not of a Jewish background. They didn't have a Bible worldview. They were pagans, worshiping false gods and the idols of the town of Corinth, many of them. And so it took a while for them to grow. And Paul here is telling them, "When I was with you, I had to teach you baby stuff. You weren't able to handle the meat of the word." Okay, up until that point in the middle of verse 2, is there any rebuke in what he says? No. You don't rebuke a baby for being a baby. I mean, babies take time to grow. Do you rebuke a little infant because they can't walk? No, you don't expect them to walk. It takes time. Ah, but pick up in the middle of verse 2. "Indeed," this is one of those words for "but," this is the strong one where you pound the pulpit, "but you are still not yet able. For you are still fleshly." Paul was there for 18 months. He's been gone for maybe about 3 years by now. And he's expecting they should have grown up a bit by now. And they haven't. And now there is rebuke. "Even so, you're not yet able, for you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." They weren't mature, they were immature. They were carnal. But love, the joint bond of unity, if they had grown up to maturity, the joint bond of maturity, if they had grown up, then there would be love for one another. There wouldn't be all these factions and schisms and these manifestations of carnality and immaturity and childishness. Beloved, these things ought not to be. He was gracious with them when they were young in the faith, because he understood it takes a while to grow into maturity. Writer of Hebrews had basically the same sort of thing in the end of chapter 5, just before the verse that we read, when he said, "Let us go on to maturity." What was the problem? You have need for someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of Christ. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need somebody else, somebody now, to still spoon feed you pablum. It's time to grow up, folks. Paul is saying to the Colossians. Paul was saying to the Corinthians. The writer of Hebrews was saying to his readers. And I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We ought to be more mature than we were a year ago. We ought to be more mature than we were 5 years ago. And maturity is not just a matter of having fat notebooks of notes that you've taken from sermons and seminars. That doesn't make anybody mature. In fact, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 8, love makes arrogant. Love puffeth up, King James. I mean, knowledge puffeth up. But love edifies. Knowledge makes arrogant. That, by the way, is a danger of a Bible-teaching church. We can get a lot of people with just a lot of head knowledge who don't have any transformation in their hearts. Who aren't growing. Who aren't a bit more mature. They have more knowledge, but they aren't spiritually a bit more mature than they were 1, 5, 10, 20 years ago. Beloved, that's tragic. If a baby never grows up to being able to walk on its own, that's a tragedy. Physically. Unfortunately, spiritually, that tragedy happens too often. I believe that agape love will manifest itself by not only demonstrating these characteristics in Colossians 3, 12, and 13, but it will also demonstrate itself in the demonstration of agape love and unity with other believers. Unity with other believers. It's one of the reasons I appreciate our church being in IFCA International, because it gives us a group of believers, other believers outside our church to fellowship with. That's why I appreciate us being a part of the Free Grace Alliance. Because it lets us know we're not alone. We're part of something bigger. We're part of what God is doing all over the world. And that should increase our love for one another. Because these are our brothers and sisters. Maturity will probably include both manifesting the qualities of agape love, the qualities and characteristics of Colossians 3, 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. But also agape love will result in unity among the believers, because there won't be selfishness, there won't be arrogance, there won't be pride, there won't be jealousy, because there'll be love instead. Upon all of these things, put on agape love, which is the joint bond of maturity. So by way of application, here's a self-test. Self-test, because nobody else is going to grade it, but I encourage you to. How many of the characteristics of agape love do I regularly manifest? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not take into account a wrong suffered, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. How many of those are regular characteristics of my life? And how is my relationship with other people? Paul used a related word, Ephesians chapter 4, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond, that's our word, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Self-test. How do you do? If there is a deficit in either of these areas, there's probably a deficit in both, because they go together. May God help us to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and to put on love, which is the joint bond of maturity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I realize that this maybe was a little confusing, the way I treated this verse. I just pray that you'll sort all that out in our minds. We would understand the importance of growing to maturity as believers in Christ. And that part of that will result in manifesting agape love and unity among one another. Help us to grow in both of those areas, Father, that we might manifest the character of Christ, that the world might know that you sent Jesus into the world, because they see the love we have for each other. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God's grace be with you.